Manila, are you ready for a little PTSD?
What do you mean, Latrice?
Girl, just a little makeover challenge. It's in this episode of Drag Race Holland, girl.
Oh, crap. I think I'm going to go cry now.
I'll join you. Stay tuned.
Forever. Dog.
Manila.
Latrice Royale.
I'm feeling extra glamorous tonight.
Giving everything you got, trying to make it to the top. Never ever gonna stop, even if you get the chop, chop, chop.
Girl, you got the chop.
Don't be a bitter bitch. Just make them eat it, honey. Welcome to The Chop with Latrice and Manila.
Who's on top?
And who gets the chop?
Ooh, let's chop it up.
Okay, well, for the fifth episode, we got our makeover challenge. So let's dive on in, girl. I know we got a lot of feelings about this kind of a challenge, but stirs up some emotions.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is that, like, the makeover challenges are always fun because you always get, like, a group of new people into the workroom. So we got a new energy. And it's always fun, but that's really hard because, like, you've been, like, in seclusion for such a long time. You're so focused, like, you're no phones, no laptop, like, no outside anything. And then all of a sudden, all these outsiders come in, and then you realize, like, oh, shit, I'm not just here in the workroom. I'm not just here on the show. There's, like, distractions. Like, all of a sudden, you're like, your sister's there talking about your family problems in front of the whole goddamn world. And, like, all of a sudden, you're like, bitch, I need to teach my fucking boyfriend how to walk in heels. Like, how is this going to work?
Yeah, all of that. All of that. Mm-hmm. Well, before that, we have a mini challenge. And they have to officiate a gay wedding. So, like, they brought back this couple that was, like, one of the first four couples to ever get married in
the Netherlands. Yeah. So that's really cool because it's, like, celebrating the progress of their nation when it comes to equality, which I think is great. And the way they do it is to kind of make fun Now, you've officiated weddings before, Latrice, right?
Oh, yeah, several plenty.
Now, is it nerve-wracking? Because, you know, as a drag queen, you're used to having it all be all about you. Correct. But, like, when you're officiating a wedding, you have to be kind of like, okay, it's all about them, but, like, here I am in full drag, stealing the attention.
Yeah, it's all of that. But, like, you know, the biggest thing that I learned about when officiating is, like, your job is to really get to know the couple and understand their love and why they're getting married. And it depends on them. If they want, I try to stay away from, like God, religion, Catholic style weddings, you know what I mean? Church weddings.
Since God and religion and Catholics have kind of stayed away from the gays. Yeah. Okay.
But, like, they like humor and they want me, you know, without being crass because mom is there, you know, so, but we want it to be funny and still
and to have a good time.
Have a good time.
And to celebrate. And yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's what they did. They had, like, a little, like, Q&A session with the couple before they, like, wrote their little vows. Yep. And then the queens had to get into quick drag. And then Fred made it a little bit harder because he's like, oh, you also have to include these three words,
and it's not I love you.
One is like some like a flower,
right?
It's too long for us even to pretend to say. One was menstrual cycle, which I thought was interesting, especially for a male and male gay couple.
Right.
And what was the other word? It doesn't matter. It was inappropriate It was appropriate for giving vows, for sure.
Well, any standouts? Yeah, I mean, obviously, okay, this is the thing I have, the problem I have to, I do have with the editing, not editing, the closed captioning. When it's bad English, I'm already having a hard time, you know, understanding with the language barrier. But then when they have poor, like, English translations, I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? So I really didn't understand a lot that was going on. I mean, Kitty Minaj was, I understood what she was doing. I didn't understand what the fuck she was saying. But she was the one that seemed like she had the most, like,
yeah,
personality and fun with it, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like, at first I was like, ooh, is this like a good thing? Because my grandfather stutters, and then my father, he stuttered a little bit when he was younger, and even I catch myself falling into a stutter sometimes. So I was like, ooh, is this going to be offensive? But then she said that she actually stuttered
stuttered before. Yeah.
So yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
If you gotten through it, then bitch, you can make fun of it. So you've turned it into a power, and now you can speak.
Mm-hmm. Right? And she won. So congratulations, won. Kitty Minaj.
Yeah.
Did she win anything though? No.
The satisfaction of winning.
Well, there you go.
Can't put a price tag on that, honey.
Nope. You know?
So then Fred talks about the main challenge, yeah?
And it's a makeover challenge.
Makeover challenge. Family resemblance, back to your roots. And so, of course, they have significant others, whether it's a friend or sister or mother or husband.
And I figured this because when we had Ivy Elise Monroe on last week, she was like, oh, I really wish I got to do the makeover challenge because I was going to do my mother. And then I was like, oh, okay. So I'm assuming that this week was the makeover challenge. And I'm assuming that they all knew who was coming because Ivy Elise, who didn't make it to this episode, knew it was going to be her mother. So,
so yeah.
So no that surprises part. There, right? Which I have to say works out a lot better if you know who's going to be your makeover challenge, because you can literally customize your look to that person as opposed to just having like, I don't know if it's going to be like a football player, a little person. A big fat person with a Siamese twin attached to them. Who knows? Right.
You don't even know. And yeah, you got to dress all that, honey.
Okay.
But yeah, so I think that's a huge advantage in this challenge, because just the fact that you can custom make it to the person that you already got their measurements, you know what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. So you should not have a reason to fail at this, I feel like. And I feel like for the most part,
yeah, they did a great job.
Yeah, they did a great job. So
yeah.
Yeah. So Kitty Minaj makeover was Joyce, her mother.
Mm-hmm. My little Poonie had her sister Kim there.
And then Tabitha had Jermaine, her sister.
Oh my gosh. Doesn't her sister look just like her?
So cute too. She can tell she's fierce.
Yeah, what is she like? She looks like she's like either like some athlete, a boxer, or some fighter. Like, don't
fuck with her.
Don't fuck with Tabitha's sister for sure. The Countess has her best friend Lot, who is just beautiful and, you know, quiet, much like the Countess.
Mm-hmm. And then Vanessa had Stevie, her partner.
Yes, which
is really super sweet. Their story is just so inspiring and so beautiful.
And the only male in the group.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, that's a challenge right there, because everyone else has their girlfriends or moms or sisters. True. Like,
She had the biggest job. Yeah,
yes. And he had a full beard, full tattoos, full man. Straight man up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Vivaldi had her mother, Karen, which was fun.
With an I, not with an E, so she's a sweetheart.
There's no asking for no managers up at this house. Yeah.
Yes.
So honey. Vanessa Van Cartier is having her little chit chat with Fred and her partner Stevie. And they're talking about how they first met when Steve was at a drag show and they mm-hmm. caught her eye and she was like, ooh, who's that straight guy over there in the back? And they were really honest because like it was a very interesting story about how it was before Vanessa had transitioned to be a woman.
Right.
You know, at least physically, right?
Correct. Yeah.
You know, I'm assuming Vanessa has always been a woman. She might not have known it at the time, or she hadn't gone through the process of presenting herself that way. But it seemed like she was on stage performing, so she was presenting at least...
That night she was probably young
and looking like a goddess, like she always does. So I can see how someone might like fall in love instantly.
Oh my God, yeah, absolutely. And it's always usually like a situation like that where you're like thinking like, there's no way in the world this is going to be happening. And then it turned out, you know, this person fell in love with your person, with your soul and not with your physical. So that's, you know, love wins. So it's a beautiful story. It just shows you that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't. It doesn't.
I know. You can really tell that they've gone through a lot and they know each other so well and they know themselves and, you know, they are brave enough to go on to international television and show off their love. So I hope that it inspires many people to be open about who they love and, you know, to not really be closed-minded when it comes to choosing who they love. You know?
You might miss out.
You might miss out. Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
And then Kylie Minaj discusses his dad cheating on his mother, which pushed him to be a rebel. And mm-hmm. of course, you know, his mother was like, you gotta go.
Yeah, because he was...
I get that rebellion stage. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a horrible time where you just are trying to like, I don't know what you're trying to prove, but you're proving that you're not going to do whatever they want you to do. And, you know, not the way that they want you to go.
Yeah, so, also, like, you know, you have to also think, like, it's not just Kylie Minaj's story. Now, obviously, like, we are hearing this story from Kylie Minaj, but, like, I can only imagine that, you know, his mother was dealing with a lot as well. You know what I mean?
I completely understand about being a rebel and, you know, going through all of those changes when your family is a fool. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Tabitha mm-hmm. talks how her sister comforted her and accepted him. And she was younger than he is and still was there to be like, well, why are you crying? Why are you so upset about this? You know, I love you. Which is so sweet. And even though she was young, she still maybe she didn't fully understand what was going on and the gravity of it, of him coming out.
Yeah.
But she was still there for him. So that was really sweet.
Yeah, it was like cute what Tabitha was saying, like, oh, like she was up in the bathroom crying and her sister came up to her and was like, I don't care what's going on with you. I still love you. You're my brother. I'm your sister. I'll always be here for you. And that was like bringing tears to my eyes. I was like, oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, really sweet. And, you know, like, as dads do, they can't accept it. And so, but like mother made a choice and she was like, this is my baby. And,
I'm
out of here. I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm. So good for the mom.
Good on mom.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Good on mom.
Choosing love.
Exactly.
Then we get a brief moment with the Countess and she was describing how she was getting... She was getting a little bit into the drugs and in, you know, a little bit too far into like the club scene, which resulted in her becoming homeless for a while. But her friend Lot was there to help her through. So I think that was like a little bit of inside to the Countess. Not a lot of inside, but I mean, I do relate because like there is, you know, there are like... temptations when you're in the club, and sometimes you go a little bit hard, and sometimes if your life isn't all the way right, you kind of like fall into some bad habits.
Oh yes.
You might not get under control. And so luckily the Countess was there to the Countess's friend Lot was there to help her through, and you know, here she is, as gorgeous as ever. So
looking gorge.
Looking gorgeous.
My Little Pony. Talks about how his father was a big cartoon artist, and he also was a big alcoholic. But she had this, her outfit, she had this print made up on fabric of his artwork and cartoons and...
And Fred was even like, oh, I have all of his cartoon books at home. So I thought it was kind of cool. I'm not familiar with My Little Pony's father as a cartoonist, but now I am. I have to go check him out.
Yeah, he was good.
Vivaldi's mom talks about how she didn't have a problem putting on makeup when he was very young. She says, oh, he always seems like creative. He would draw, and now he's drawing on his face. And I loved this storyline because it's just, you know, this is what happens when you like just love your children and love your family and just love unconditionally. It doesn't really matter, you know, what's as long as you see that that person is being happy, you know, finding out who they are and being comfortable with who they are. I think that's what any mother would want, right?
100%. 100%. Should we take a little break and come back and get to the runway?
Ooh, the runway. I can't wait. We'll be right back. We're back to our roots.
Going back, back to my roots in the night.
Oh, that's a RuPaul song.
It's a RuPaul song, yeah.
Oh, I didn't get it until just now. Wow. Late to the party.
I was kind of surprised they didn't use the song at all.
You know what? That's one of the Ru's older songs, so maybe she doesn't have the rights to that. You know how it works with songwriting stuff.
I do know how it does work. Mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. I do. Call me mother. Okay.
First up, we have My Little Pony and her sister.
Yes. And I thought they looked like fucking fierce. You know what they give me? Like roller derby girls. You know?
Yes.
Remember those?
Like, that's, you know, they're gonna check you off, like body clock you.
Body clock you, bitch. Knock your ass out. Yeah.
I thought this was a great thing. They looked like twins. Yeah. They walked exactly the same.
They walked exactly alike. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I loved their hair. I love that one had a ponytail, one had pigtails. I love that they were similar, but they were different, you know?
Different. Yeah. So cute. Very cute. I thought it was cute.
I think that the judges were saying that they just didn't see that the print of the comics weren't big enough to read from stage.
Well, bitch.
So okay. I can see
is that
why
all
that,
you have to say?
I think that's all they had to say, right? I don't know.
That's all they could say. That's all they could say
is that the print was too small for them to get it, but... You know, sometimes that is the case.
And it didn't fit well. And then the construction, they said that they had a problem with construction because her ass was baggy or something. But
which I don't think
it, that was not there.
Not whatever.
I don't think that was legit. I didn't see it.
I thought they looked sickening. I thought they looked exactly the same.
Then we have Tabitha. I did too. We have Tabitha and her butterfly world moment. It's just a little basic. It's actually a lot basic. But she did her sister good, you know. But
I thought they looked the same. It wasn't the best look out there. Yeah,
no.
I liked their presentation when they like held hands. They did this little circle, and the draping of the butterfly things was just like sweeping in the wind, and they twirled around each other. I thought it was pretty. But yeah, I think what they are looking for a lot these days is to full on hit us over the head and tell us a story. You know what I mean? Like just walking down the runway is not enough anymore.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of not walking down the runway, then we have Kitty Minaj.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And her mom.
Yes. So I guess like she's
queen
going to
and
her
princess warrior.
And she's going into her her Indonesian roots. I didn't know she was Indonesian. But it makes sense now just like Raja.
That makes sense.
Okay. Cuz like when her mom came out, I was like, "Oh, she looked a little Asian." And then I was like looking at Kim and I was like, "Oh, okay. All right, maybe he's Asian a little bit." I thought she had like her tapes on her eyes, you know.
Right, because she does look a little snatched.
Love this outfit. I want both those outfits. I want Kitty Minaj's mom's wig, like in my closet now.
For real, like that wig is fabulous.
Love the headdress. Done. Love the updated version of these Indonesian looks. Love it.
You know, her mom was giving me like Elizabeth Taylor vibes.
Ooh, yes, yes, yes. Back in the day. Big black hair. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Come on, Liz Taylor.
Overall, I loved their look.
I loved it, too. I thought the story was great. The colors, everything was wonderful. It was queen and princess down. There was no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Vanessa Van Cartier and her partner. This was just, okay, this is winter chicken dinner for me, because not only did I fall in love with their story, but they just basically played it out, and it was really so sweet. It's so sweet, so inspiring.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she was painted, honey.
Painted.
Ooh. When she first did the reveal, I was like, oh my God. Like,
right?
Boyfriend was looking right.
After Steve had shaved off that beard, he looked like a completely different person. And then Vanessa, full on, painted the bitch down. They looked gorgeous. They looked the same. They looked like, oh my gosh, it was cute. And then the storyline with the bow and arrow Cupid falling in love. I really loved that. And extra points because she actually transformed someone into drag for this makeover challenge.
Completely, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a complete makeover challenge, yeah.
Yeah.
But then Vivaldi comes out and gives us something so fun, colorful, flirty. Mom looks amazing.
Oh my God. These wigs.
These wigs and hair piece, this is like so fun.
Yeah, and it's on brand with the runway because it's like back to my roots. So she's going back to her being a little kid. She's got a little doll. And did she say that her mom is the one that crocheted or knitted those outfits?
Crocheted, I think so.
I mean,
which
I think
makes me like gag.
Mm-hmm. I love the fact that the creativity in this family is just overflowing, bitch, because I can just see mom like furiously knitting away with the yarn and the little like knitting needles and be like, I gotta get my baby ready. Ooh, this outfit better be look good on me. So cute. And then when she pulls out her titties and she's got crocheted boobs. I live.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. Then we have the Countess and Lott.
Lastly, Count. Yes. Gorgeous. They look like Linda twins. Evangelistas like, walking
two
down the...
Linda. Mm-hmm. Two Lindas stand before me. Yes. they look beautiful. You can't even come for that, you know? But there's no story.
And also the thing about it is that their dresses are both black and their hair is similar, but like the dresses to me didn't seem to have enough similarities to them to really, that like, as opposed to, like, the other people. Like, they have different silhouettes and the different things. But I think it's because they were black, it looked like two black dresses that they, like, pulled from some stylist and were like, okay, you wear this one and I'll wear this one and we'll wear the same hair and then whatever. Yeah, I guess the little gimmick of the champagne was just not enough to really to tell the story.
No, I didn't understand that at all, actually. What are they drinking to? What are we cheers in?
They're party girls, so they're out, you know, celebrating New Year's or something. I don't know.
Okay. Well, all right. I didn't get that. Well, obviously, the judges didn't either. But they just come right on out with it and say, Vanessa Van Cartier, you are the winner, honey. Yes, chicken dinner. And then we have the gag.
Which is great, though, because we had, in the beginning of the episode, we had said that Tabitha and Vanessa were the only ones without a badge. So I was like, ooh, is Evaldi going to get this one? Mm-hmm. But then Vanessa got it, and I was like, okay, so she's got her badge now. All right.
She got her badge, yep.
Then the gagger.
The gag girl. They say, Tabitha, my little pony, and Countess, you're all up for elimination. You all must lip sync.
Girl, and at first,
Call me mother.
At first, I was like, oh, bitch, are they going to, like, save the Countess? Because that's her last week. I thought maybe they were, like, pushing for her to, like, just kind of, like, scooch her on by. But I was like, how is she going to be safe when I feel like she had the weakest runway. And also, I feel like she got the worst critiques. But then she goes in.
And then lip sync happens, and I'm just like, baby, soon before the music even started, I looked over at Christopher and I said, baby, honey, these two over here are about to wear it out. Talk about Tabitha and My Little Pony. I knew that they were going to slay. Countess showed us what she was going to do last week. I was expecting again.
Yeah. I thought the Countess had her lip lock down.
Oh, because she to be honest, lip sync like you.
Walking in a circle.
Walking in a circle, lip sync like mumbling her words. Bitch, no. She like, when the camera caught her several times, I was like, oh, bitch, she don't know at all what she's saying. I was going to blame it on the editing because, you know, they don't have the editing synced up. But you can even tell, even if it's after the beat or after the words, whether she mouthed them correctly or not. And
in my opinion, I thought Tabitha's lip sync was off, but I think it's because Tabitha's style of lip sync is just a little bit bigger and over dramatic. And you know, Tabitha's got the big, juicy lips. So, like, you know, they take a little bit longer to form those words. Those big, juicy lips have a lot further to go, a lot more to move. I thought the Countess had a good lip sync. But yeah, like, it didn't match the energy of the song, which,
or the other two that were, yeah.
Oh, I mean, first of all,
talk about for a minute, Tabitha's ass and legs are like,
oh my God,
really gorgeous.
Like, I was not expecting that. Yeah,
is like lovely, bitch. Lovely. And legs for days. I'm like, yes, ma'am.
Oh, and then let's please, bitch, like, give a shout out to Miss My Little Pony, because she slayed that lip sync.
Slayed, bitch. She like, I definitely ain't going nowhere, honey.
Yeah, she was like, I'm so good that I could probably send both these bitches home. Literally.
She could have.
Yeah.
If it was going to go down that way, she could have.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, the Countess was eliminated.
Oh, your first pick.
I know! And especially after last week when she got that free, get out of jail free card.
Yeah, baby.
Girl. But you know what the thing about it is that, like, she definitely was gorgeous, but, like, she was starting to, like, I mean, she was light years ahead in the looks department than many of these girls, but the personality was just, you know, just a little bit lackluster. And some of these girls with telling their stories and
we're getting to know them. Like, even still, like, with her friend Lot, I didn't get a... It made me question, like, well, where is her family? Like, who's, does she not have any family? I don't know.
In my head, I'm thinking, like, maybe the Countess was like, okay, well, my mom is not as beautiful as I am, so I'm not to pick her. My brother, he's probably not going to look as gorgeous as I am. But let me just get my friend Lot, because she's so damn sick. Because let me just say, like, those two looked absolutely stunning.
So stunning. Like,
and so I think that she was like, let me just pick my friend who I know is gorgeous, and she's probably painted her before. So she's like, let me just, she's in my size, so let me just grab her, and then we'll slay with the looks. And unfortunately, it wasn't enough.
Not enough. So. Not enough.
Yeah.
Well, Manila, it's time for our official The Chop Drag Race Fantasy League Last Queen Standing.
Yes. Latrice and I each chose four queens, and whoever has the winning queen in their Drag Race draft will win Last Queen Standing. I chose the Countess, Love Masissi, Ivy Elise, and Tabitha. So I have what? Okay, wait, and who did you choose?
I chose Vanessa Van Cartier, Vivaldi, My Little Pony, and Kitty Minaj, which means what?
I only have one bitch left standing.
You have one last queen standing.
Does that mean I win? Latrice, I have...
You're winning and losing. This is the story of your life. You lost All Stars, but you still won because the fans fucking love you. And went ape shit, but yeah, this is your story of your life, mama. You are winning and losing right now. You only have one queen left, and my entire court is still standing, darling. All four.
Well, no matter who wins, the other person has to provide them with Alaskan king crabs. And for me, it doesn't seem like I'm going to be getting none of Latrice's secret recipe.
Call me clairvoyant, but I can see the handwriting on the wall, honey. Well, Manila, you're absolutely getting slaughtered this season, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. since the Countess is been sent home, you have that one girl left. I have my four.
All right, fuck this. Let's take a break. I can't deal with this. I need to go cry. We'll be right back.
Remember, we love your emails, so make sure you send us emails at latricemanila@gmail.com because we may need your help. So if you have some insider tea on all things Holland that we might not know about, just send us an email. We may read it on the air.
Now for our tops and our chops. Every week, we highlight our tops and our chops of the week, our favorite and our least favorite moments of this episode, the fifth episode of Drag Race Holland. All right, what are your tops, Latrice? What's your top? What's your top? What's your top? Besides me only having one bitch left.
That is such a good moment. My top is Vanessa this week. Vanessa's partner is my top.
Yeah.
That's a man. That is a man. A man. You understand what I mean? And it takes a strong man to help and be behind someone that is going through such a dramatic transition, and you are just there by their side, 100% unconditional love and support. And even when they're not feeling great about their position in this world, you are there to stand next to them and let them know that they are valid and that they matter. And so, like, he mm-hmm. is my top for this episode. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's really important because, especially as, you know, the trans community is putting themselves out there, we have much more representation in the media these days. I think that's really mm-hmm. important. But it's also important for the people who love them to come forward and be open and out as much as,
be open
as the trans
out.
People.
Exactly.
You know yes. what I mean? Because, yes. like, that's where yes. the true... the true
test
understanding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's because it's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially because, like, you know, the trans community has been fetishized for so long. You know what I mean? Like, people mm-hmm. aren't afraid to love them. They're just, some of them are just afraid to be open about it with their family, with yep. other people. Yep. And so to have Vanessa Van Cardia's boyfriend, Steve, come out on national TV to put himself in this position where he's going to shave off his beard mm-hmm. and get in full drag and profess his love in front of the whole world. It's so meaningful. It's such a good step in the right direction. I love it. Yeah, it's one of my tops too. Love but it. Since you chose that one, I'm going to top. I want to top.
Who are you going to top?
Vivaldi's mother. I love that dynamic oh, okay. there. You know what yeah, I mean? First yeah. of all, I love all the mothers who are there. Like, I also a shout out to Ki Binaj and her mother. But, like, I really love the story of, like, I love showing off, like, how loving our parents can be. You know what I mean? Like, I
can
know
be.
We,
yes.
like, I know we, like, it's really dramatic to talk about, you know, like, being, you know, disowned by your family or kicked out by your family, but it's also good to see all the beauty and love and support that families have for their children no matter what. And look at the mothers that came onto the show. Like, their daughters are doing some of the best drag on this show, so, like,
for sure.
You know what I mean? Sure. Like, Vivaldi's yeah. slaying. Yeah. And I think a lot of it has to do with because her mother is right there knitting outfits for yep. her. You know what I mean? Like, I love that story.
That's support. That is support, if I've mm-hmm. ever heard it, honey.
So yeah, that's my one. Top. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Good. But what about our chops? Chop, 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 chop.
I have to chop. Tabitha's looks, those little basic, they just didn't stand up with everybody else that was on the runway. Even with Countess being just two black dresses, they were still very polished and fashion. This look, I mean, I love the overcoats with the butterfly on it. It was what they wore underneath that did not do it any justice. So that's my child.
Yeah.
Sorry, girl.
I mean, it's, this is, like, the problem. It's, like, you just want to, like, get two cohesive looks together. But that I think what there was lacking was the telling of the story, you know, on the runway. It yeah. just wasn't all the way there.
Maybe they could have, like, one could have been, like, they could have been in cocoons or something or emerged as butterflies. Some kind of transformation to show just not wearing butterfly plant. You know, if you're going to give the butterfly effect, I want to see the butterfly effect for real.
So that's a good point.
You know, it's about evolution. So,
yeah, because you got to run.
Masters try that?
Jasmine tried it with a cocoon. She was, you know, season 7, she was going to come out her cocoon. She said cocoon one more time. But cocoon, girl, her cocoon, she's going to make a cocoon. You know, she's going to have a hula hoop and make a cocoon. But that didn't work out either. But mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's your chop. My
that's
chop.
My chop. What's your chop?
My chop is My Little Pony. Because like the judge is not really getting the, I don't know. My chop is the judge is putting My Little Pony in the bottom. I didn't get it. Like, I thought their looks were so good. I thought the putting the the extra meaning about their deceased father's cartoons on them was really meaningful. And maybe the judges weren't able to see the print from where they were sitting, so they decided to put them in the bottom. But I loved their outfits. I thought those were two great drag outfits that I think are both beautiful. I thought their walks were perfectly in sync. They looked like twins. So I don't understand how they were in the bottom.
Chop. Me either. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's valid because I didn't think they should have been in the bottom either. So that is a chop. Well, and you said that. And that is our chop and our chop. Our chops and our chops. Our chops and our chops. Make sure.
Oh, thanks for listening to The Chop. We have and that's our show. Thanks so much for listening to The Chop. We have new shows every Tuesday and Thursday.
And make sure you subscribe to our show so you can rate and review us on your podcast app.
And you can send us an email. We might read it on the show next week. LatriceandManila@gmail.com.
You can follow us at Latrice Royale and at Manila Luzon.
And we'll see you next week to find out
who gets the chop.
Forever Dog.
To listen to The Chop ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
The Chop is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, aka Mom.
Hosted by Latrice Royale and Manila Luzon.
Produced by Joseph Shepard.
Editing and sound design by Will Pitts.
Executive produced by Big Dipper, Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Our theme song is The Chop by Manila Luzon and Latrice Royale.